The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On Friday, we heard on The Hard Shoulder from Helen Joyce, the author of Trans, Gender Identity and the New Battle for Women's Rights and Director of Advocacy at Sex Matters in the UK, on the discussion of the Gender Recognition Act here, among other issues. Have a little listen to what she said on Friday.
So most Irish people probably still don't know that you can fill in a form, get it witnessed by a solicitor, send it off without even a fee, and the government will send you back a birth cert that says that you are the opposite sex, that you always were the opposite sex to the sex you are. And this has nothing to do with getting a doctor's cert or anything like that. It's not about surgery. It's not about hormones. It's just about what you say you are.
We're going to return to the discussion today, and we are joined by Karen Sugrue, sociology lecturer and psychotherapist and member of Mammies for Trans Rights. Good evening to you, Karen. You heard the interview that we did with Helen Joyce on Friday. What did you make of it?
Hi, Ciara, and thanks so much for having me on. I'm delighted for this chance to talk about this. So I did hear the interview, and look, you won't be surprised, and your listeners won't be surprised to hear that I would have fairly big issues and disagree with a lot of what she said. But what I really wanted to come on today and talk about is what it's like to be the parent and a family member of a trans person in Ireland and in the world as it is right now. There is a lot of people who speak about trans people in a very abstract, kind of an academic way. And that can feel, you know, you hear a lot of very heated debate, but it's very different when it's your kid. And what I really wanted to say to your listeners is that these are our babies and our children and our teenagers and our family members that they're talking about, that they are saying, that they are having conferences in which the topic of discussion is that they shouldn't be allowed to play sport with their friends, and that they shouldn't be, you know, which bathrooms they shouldn't be allowed to use. And I think that, you know, there's a very heated vein to all of this. And that is pushed in large part, I think, by bad faith political actors who are kind of making a lot of hay with this for distraction purposes. You know, there's a lot going on in the world that they're trying to distract from. But I do feel that our children are very often used as political footballs in that case. And at the end of the day, they are there, you know, we're the moms. And I will say that I have never met anybody more expert in anything than a mom who is worried for their kid. And that is our experience in Mammies for Trans Rights.
Okay. Karen, I'm going to ask you some questions. Please don't take them in any way in the wrong way, because I wanted you to come on and talk. But in the same way, I put to Helen questions, sort of challenging what she was saying.
Of course.
There are people out there who would say the last people in the world who will ever give up the idea of gender ideology are parents of children who have transitioned, because, and I mean, and these are people who are gender critical people, people who don't accept gender ideology, because you can never admit that what you've done has been harmful to your child. What do you say to that?
I think there's a couple of things there. So first of all, I think that there is no question that anybody could ask us that we haven't asked ourselves 1,000 times and found answers for. And I think it's very important that, you know, that we're allowed to have these discussions and that people be allowed to ask questions. That's the first thing. And I'm always delighted, in Mammies for Trans Rights, we're always delighted to have these discussions. The second thing I would say is, and I'm really speaking to anybody, of a parent or anybody that has a young person in their lives, I can't get my children to wear coats on wet days.
Neither can I, by the way. So we're on the same page.
So I don't have, if I had power over my children to convince them to do things, it would be to wear coats, it would be to go to bed a bit earlier and less screen time and things like that. But, you know, and I suppose I'm speaking with my psychotherapy hat on now, What I do have power over, the little bit I have, is that I can create a safe environment for my kids to come home to. And so that when they come home from the world, which is very confusing and very worrying right now, they know that in this place that they are loved and accepted as they choose to be. And what our job, I think, as parents is, and when I say parents, I really mean the broad, we're all the adults in charge of the world right now. So what we really need to be doing is having a conversation about what kind of world we're trying to create and what we want for our kids. So do we want our kids to replicate exactly what we have done? No, as far as I'm concerned, we've made a mess of things. But I think what we can do is we can say to our kids, okay, we don't know the answers, but my goodness, we're going to walk beside you. We are going to figure things out together and so that you're not on your own with this.
And Karen, the pushback on the affirmation model, I'm presuming from what you're saying is that you're a proponent on it. The CAS report in particular pushed back against it, saying that there was a danger in even socially transitioning children because you were setting them down a path and then medicalizing them with things like puberty blockers kind of cemented that path. And because, and this isn't me saying, this is what it was saying, so because so many gender confused children are coming from different, I suppose, points of view, that it would not necessarily be the case that they could be all presumed to be trans, that many of them might be autistic, many of them might be gay, lesbian, or have other mental health issues, that the affirmation model funnels them down a road rather than teasing things out. What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, I think, and one of the reasons that the CAS report isn't being talked about so much anymore is that it has been roundly debunked by every medical organization virtually around the world. It's not peer reviewed, and it has very, very significant methodological problems that have really around the world, group after group and individual after individual have distanced themselves from it. So
I'd have to argue that because you may or may not know that I am a medical doctor. I've seen many medical groups change their point of view in recent times, including in the US and in France and in Denmark and Scandinavian countries, in the UK. There has been a huge shift off the back of the CAS report. I would suggest that saying it's been debunked by everyone wouldn't be strictly accurate.
Well,
I'm not trying to, I promise you I'm not trying to have a go, but I've seen many people who would say the complete opposite to exactly what you just said.
Yeah, well, I mean, look.
I mean medical organizations in, as I say, France, Denmark, Scandinavia, the UK. Like there has been a huge shift off the back of the CAS report from medical organizations as well.
Well, Dr. Cass herself is now, she's been reported to the General Medical Council on the basis of things that she has put forward in her report. So there is, this is really contested stuff. But what I want to say is, whether you like the CAS report or not, the idea that we wouldn't affirm our children in their how they want to present the world is, to my mind, is against every tenet of good mental health and good parenting. Because what we are told as mental health practitioners in our first day of training, we're told meet the person where they're at. And this is particularly important for young people. Meet the young person where they're at. Unconditional positive regard and love, and then support them in that place.
Karen, we're also told do no harm. And if you're affirming somebody who maybe is actually experiencing internalized homophobia rather than being actually trans, then affirming them actually sets them maybe down a road that isn't in their best interest. Is that an unfair thing to say?
Well, I think that there is, and again, what you're describing there is a lot of the very, very confused messages that are coming out from some of the groups, the vested interest groups. This idea of internalized homophobia turning into transgenderism has been debunked since the 1970s.
Well, no, I've got to put to you that it was said by many people who worked in the Tavistock Clinic. There was whistleblowers saying that we are transing the gay away, that was what was happening. It was one of the criticisms of Tavistock before it was closed.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of problems with what happened with the Tavistock Institute. And what I think that we need to do is kind of situate this with the hard science. And what we know is when we start into a space of not supporting our children, when we take away their rights to play sport, to use bathrooms, to access gender-affirming care, the Trevor Project has just reported an increase of 72% across 19 states in the US of suicide in young people when those laws have been changed. So we have to be really, really careful that what is happening and what is being done when we take away people's rights, when we make them feel unloved and unaccepted, then we are looking at a 72% increase in suicide in young people. And I can tell you that as a parent, that is terrifying. And we must say to ourselves, I love what you said about first do no harm. We can never do harm in loving and supporting our kids.
I would have to just say lastly, and I'm very grateful you're coming on, Karen, and I'd love to have you on again because I genuinely mean that. And I think, you know, in the same way we had Helen on, I think it's very good that we have you on. But there's been lots of studies that would suggest that transitioning doesn't improve suicidality, and that statistic was debunked as well. My unfortunate situation here is that we are out of time. I would be delighted to have you on again, though, and I am very grateful to you coming on. And I wish you all the best, by the way, with your lovely child, who I'm sure you love the bones of. And sincerely, thank you for coming on. That is Karen Suger there, sociology lecturer and psychotherapist, and also a representative from Mammies for Trans Rights.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.